Here we are.
Here we are. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped that you're with us. Beautiful Thursday in Youngstown. How is Joe?
Joe's great.
And no one is going to miss you in that orange shirt. If we got
this
your
is my safety orange. Yes.
Graham and Ben each have like a neon shirt or whatever, and I'm always like, "Well, you should wear that to the fair. We won't lose you." You know, that's like right. in the midst of that. How's Joe getting ready to go camping this weekend?
I am getting.
Where are you guys going?
Up to Cedar Point. So we're gonna like camping and amusement park.
Roller coasters. Yeah. And I saw something about you want to get a perch dinner.
Yes.
And what is that, a famous thing up there?
I don't know. Lake Erie, I love the fish that come out of Lake Erie. Okay. Two of my favorite fish are perch and walleye. And I have walleye pretty often, but it's a little bit harder to get good quality perch around here. So you have to normally go there. Now, the one famous thing for Lake Erie is a perch sandwich. Okay. If you go along the coast, pretty much like every dive bar on the planet has these amazing perch sandwiches. So
batter dip. Right.
Yeah, really bad for your health. Wonderful. Kind of stuff. Yes.
I mean, the fish is good for your health. And so anything that's going to help you get the
fish down. But it balances, yeah.
Yeah, it's Jim Gaffigan does that whole bit where he's like, you know, you ever meet people that are like, I just love fish. And they're like, really? And he's like, I eat tuna, but it's got to have a gallon of mayo and all sorts of stuff. He goes, I don't think you like fish. So
yeah, part of the keto stuff is I eat a lot of like fatty salmon, whatever, no breading, no frills, whatever. So I'm used to it.
Yeah. So you're going to get a perch sandwich and you're going to enjoy some vomit machines at Cedar Point.
Vomit machines. I like that.
No, it's good. How's all the other stuff going? How's Debbie with school and stuff? Is she no issues in there and stuff?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
Always. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
well, I know it's been weird
for everyone.
Yeah, it's been tough. Like Boardman doesn't have any football games this weekend. Mm-hmm. They canceled because they had a bunch of kids test positive for COVID, and so they just shut everything down. My understanding, at least at this point, is that nobody that's like symptomatic, but then everybody that's around them has to quarantine. That's like, I don't know, some of the stuff I'm just like, if you're sick, stay home. If you're not sick, come to school. I mean, it's like so really deep stuff. And I don't know why we would continue to make this more complicated than it needs to be. So, but anyway, let's
I'm
talk
glad
about
you got that off your chest. You feel better? Good, good.
Talk about something more cheery and more enlightening. You know, I want to dive in and talk a little bit about the idea behind networking, social media, some of the tools that are at our disposal. So we've talked about, you know, the people we put in our life are important. We've talked about, finding mentors. We've talked a lot about that, but I want to talk about it strictly from a business standpoint.
Okay.
Because so many people have the issue where they feel like a used car salesman, and they feel like, well, I'm just at this event to collect some names so that I can sell people some crap. And if you don't get past that, and understand that the networking you're actually doing is about the relationship and not about the product. We have to help reframe that. A lot of our introverts, which you would count yourself among them, struggle in that department. Like, why am I going to go do this, you know, cocktail hour or this coffee bar and, you know, meet 10 people that I'm never going to talk to again. I'm going to put myself through this painful torture of, you know, small talk. And, you know, some people don't, where for me, I'm like, hey, let's, you know, if I had a Rolodex, to use that term, it would be very, very full. And, you know, my phone is very, very full because I meet somebody, I'm like, here, put your number in there. You know, we'll connect at some point. Maybe we don't connect for a year. Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe it's 5 years. But I value that social currency super high. And so it's a lot of fun. You know, I even sat with Chef Donnie, who's been doing the show. He came into my office yesterday. I got to hear his story a little bit and connect because he's been coming to church. And, you know, I don't know if he'll attend church at Bridge of Hope forever. Maybe he'll pop in for some other stuff. Maybe we'll see each other at the studio. But like immediately, I'm like I wanna connect. I wanna, you know, who knows? Maybe we can cross pollinate and do. You know, I'm always thinking that way, and I think for a lot of business owners, they're like, well, I'm just here to sell my product. They're either so in love with their product or they're so in love with their service that they provide that they forget that people are the business. And so, how does Joe, as an introvert, do the networking side of things, the relationship building, all of that?
I'm going to deviate a little bit from that question because I think it's appropriate. So I think you got what usually happens on either side, and then you got the middle where I like to reside. Mm-hmm. So either social media is, you don't really care about your brand and it's your way to get stuff off your chest and argue sure. with people and whatever. You just basically flaunt it out there and whatever. And then the other side where it's all about the product and you behave a certain way and just to be able to do sales. It's not really about mm-hmm. connecting on the social end. It's more about yeah. networking on that deal. Well, I sort of like built my brand around me and my personality. So I basically just go out and be myself. And I try to attract people who want to deal with me to me because mm-hmm. I don't want to sell at you. I don't, you know, if I want to be as passive as I possibly right. can, so that you don't treat me like I'm a salesperson. And you also don't treat me like I want to hear your story or I want to have a conversation either. Right. So I would just, you know,
I want to keep this professional, but if I don't sell you anything, I'm cool with that. Just don't talk to me.
No, please. Just make it 5 words or less and I'll be happy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, but and that is, I think, part of the strategy is being comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
You know, but so many people are awkward. And so then it becomes, well, you know, I don't have any leads and I don't know how to do this. And then you're cold calling or you're showing up to businesses and everything's about, I got to make a bottom line. And everybody, as soon as you walk in, everybody knows.
Yes,
right. Like you're not fooling anybody. And then sometimes my downfall is I will make relationships. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why am I here again? Like, you know, or I won't connect. Oh, you know, that person does this. I should have connected them with so-and-so and I'll miss out on some of those because I'm so fixated on the relational side of things that I forget like, oh yeah, we're actually here to do something too.
Right.
And so, but I think that's true in that middle ground, the authenticity of Joe being Joe is going to pull people into Joe's orbit.
Yeah. And it's the difference is that, I feel like if I get people to chase me rather than me chasing people, like I will nurture, you know, opportunities and businesses like you nurture relationships where I can tell you exactly at what stage all of my stuff is. I have perfect memory when it comes to the business. Mm-hmm. And people ask me all the time and say, how do you manage so many things all at one time? It's because I'm making you give me 5 words or less and I'm giving paragraphs and novels to my businesses. You see what I mean? That's really the opposite.
That's so interesting. You know, and it's, and the way you said that reminds me of a scripture, Joe. you know, that was Jesus's model. He said to his disciples, come follow me and I'll make you. He didn't chase them. He didn't hunt them down. He said, look, here's an opportunity. I'm going this way. If you want to come with, you're welcome to come with. And on the way there, I'm going to show you some things. And I think that's the way healthy mentorship works. I think that's the way discipleship works from a spiritual standpoint. I think that's the way business works. You know, I'm going in this direction. This is what we believe. If you want to jump on board, come on. You know, when you are, it's almost like the results follow that. When people are chasing the results, you never get that. You end up cutting right. corners, you manipulate things, and you aren't true to who you're supposed to be.
Yeah, and you're thirstier when you're chasing after those things. It's almost like once you get there, you have expended so much effort. You have to be more successful and win a bunch more because look at how you're invested in it.
Well, and what you attract them with, you have to give them to keep them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you give them the bait and switch, then they're going to go, well, this is what I signed up for. And so it's easier to just, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is what we have.
Right.
You know, we're not great at this, but we're good at this. You know, I think you've said that even over the years with computer stuff, there've been times where you've recommended people to someone else because you're like, I can't handle, I want this so bad, but I'm going to do a poor job. This person will do a better job. And people respect that. And they really do honor that. I find that true. Even in the church world, there've been times where, you know, particularly I've had some pastor friends of mine that I trust, I know have great churches, and somebody will either move out of the area and they'll say, where can I go to church? Or somebody's having some turmoil. And I go, you know what? I was like, maybe we're not meeting your needs. They have a great program over at this church, or I love that pastor. Why don't you go and at least try it if we're not going to do that? And it puts it in a spot where they understand, like, I'm not just here to keep you in the seats at Bridge of Hope.
Right.
I'm not just here to keep you as a customer at Youngstown Computers. I'm here to help you have the best possible outcome for your computer or for your life or whatever.
Yeah, just yesterday we had a band that came to us and we've got all this recording. We got great equipment to be able to do it, do recording. A band wanted to put a promotional video together and they said, we want you to record. And I thought, you know what? Who's going to be really good at that is Peppermint Studios up the road. So I called him.
I saw your picture. Yeah.
Called him and said, hey, I know you guys will do a much better job at this. We're going to do a bunch of business in the future. I'm going to bring a band up there and let's do, a recording. And what I've found in business, like across the board, this has never not worked out, is that so we get into a sales predicament where, mm-hmm. You need something. I know that I have something. You sort of like have that sales mode in your brain. Mm-hmm. What gets you out of that sales mode, if I try not to sell you what you want to buy, then you shift. Like if I'm trying to not, people say, hey, is there any, should I buy a computer from you? I'm like, there's really no advantage. Mine's probably going to cost a little bit more. So if you want to support me, I'll absolutely sell you a computer, but you could probably get it better down the road. They're like, tell me about this computer that you sell. I'm like, I just told you it's cheaper somewhere else. You'd expect logically that they would go after the dollar, but still a little switch flips in your brain when somebody gives you truth.
Well, and price point isn't the only thing that causes people to make decisions. Matter of fact, most people don't make logical decisions. It's all gut feeling. It feels right. And you see that a lot in business. You see people, they can see the spreadsheet says one thing. They can see the employee performance is one thing. And they go, I just like them. Yeah, feel right. And people look at it and go, that doesn't make any sense. But there's a decision-making spot in our brain and that doesn't come from a logical spreadsheet place. It comes from that. Some people say,
but when you're in sales mode, it does come from the logical way. That's why when you're in a store and they're like, you need help with it, you could actually need some help with something, and your response is going to be, nope, I'm just looking, right?
Yeah,
that's the logical pre-programmed response because the pressure's on and they're looking at you. You know what to say, you go to the spreadsheet.
Well, and the salesperson is going to come in and tell you all the features and how fast it is, and none of that is what's going to make your decision. That may. Oh, okay, that sounds nice or whatever, but you're reading the person more than you're reading the product.
For sure.
And we'll buy from people that make us feel comfortable. We'll buy from people that we feel like we're friends with. I would go the extra mile to be able to give business somebody, even pay more, somebody that I'm connected to and enjoy their company and their friendship. Why would I buy from anybody else kind of deal? And then, you get into the issue where you have people that are all in the same industry and you're friends with all of them. And then who do you buy from, Joe? None of them.
I have some of those. Yeah. And I spread it around. Like I've bought, one time I needed something, I went to one, and I'm pretty transparent about that, and I don't like exclusivity. I think, some of the worst corruptions happen when you have one choice on something.
Yeah.
Cause it's the opposite reason. I don't like to hold my customers hostage. It makes me feel good if you flirt with somebody else and you still choose me. That's more valuable than if you never tested the relationship.
Yeah. So when you're networking, Joe's mode, you're not going to regional chamber of commerce. You're not going to cocktail party and events to shake hands and hobnob and be able to win customers. So how does Joe network? You said you're authentically you, but does it just happen? Do you ever have intentional moments? Is it just kind of like as you do things and meet people along the way? Or do you specifically like, hey, today I'm going to return these 15 phone calls and I'm trying to network. Do you do anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
I guess, when I do anything public, they have to know who I am and know what I do without an introduction. So I have to do so much stuff publicly that all I have to do is pull the lever on my name and that they fill in the rest. Cause I'm not good at explaining that. I'm not going to brag about anything. I'm not going to tell my story, right? I'm going to say who I am and they're going to light bulbs need to go off in their head. If I don't have enough information in the thing, like for instance, I'm going to be, Rotary, I'm going to be speaking in front of a Rotary group.
When?
I think in November.
Nice. November. Which one?
Boardman.
Very cool.
Yeah. And they got a pretty considerable deal. And the only reason I spoke
on Zoom during the, so I used to be a Rotarian.
Did you?
And I spoke on Zoom to them during COVID and everything. So very cool. You have to let me know. I'll come with you.
All right. And it's very unlikely that I say yes to these kind of things to speak because I'm thinking, okay, what's the value? What can I give to this group that they didn't have before? Exactly. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm doing a bunch of stuff. Maybe I inspire some of these entrepreneurs to maybe spread things out, open new businesses, get into new territory. I'm like, okay, well, that's it. And the group probably because they're business leaders know my name from the radio shows and sure. and whatever. So it will be easy to pull that lever. I won't have to do much explaining. But if I go to a place that doesn't know who I am, like if somebody, crowd, yeah. if the Rotary group in, you know, Wyoming calls me, I could probably, you know, have the same kind of inspirational message. But since they don't know who the hell I am,
yeah, credibility I'll probably say no. You. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've preached at churches that I know the church, know the pastor, and then I've been in environments where I didn't know anybody. And I agree that it's easier. I'll say two things about it. One is it's easier to preach to an audience that you're comfortable with and you have some sort of relationship with beforehand, because you have fun banter. You can, you kind of read the room a little bit. Okay. You know, it's going to be a funny crowd. It's going to be a dry crowd. You can kind of feel that. But when you go into rooms where you don't know anybody, I feel more bold to say certain things. I'm like, well, you didn't know me before and I'm probably not going to see you again. So let's just have at it.
Right.
There's a evangelist, that said this one time, you know, he came in, spoke at this conference, you know, 1,000 people. And I was sitting there and he making a quip about how to handle other people in church. And he was like, and I'm telling you this as the evangelist leaving tomorrow. I have nothing to do with any of the results of this. Adios. But you can kind of be a little more bold and brash, because I'm not worried about when you're not in relationship or you're not worried about the relationship on the back end. It lends itself to a little more bold content maybe, because you're kind of like, well, you know, I didn't know these people beforehand. I may not know them afterwards. So let's just take a swing. Right. And sometimes you hit a home run there.
And I think what happens too is like when it's a crowd that that doesn't know you, they mm-hmm. kind of like give you some notoriety mm-hmm. that you don't deserve. Oh, so yeah. they elevate you. Yep. And I feel a little bit like I don't deserve that. And that's another thing yeah. that I shy away from, because they're going to think I'm better than I am anyhow. Right. And you know, I can only go down from there.
Put me too far up on a pedestal.
That's right. Trouble. That's right.
So you're going to speak at Borman Rotary and yeah. you're going to talk about what?
Let me talk about all of these ventures. Like I started like 5 companies within a year and a half, and wow. all of them have the bones. Like these aren't like just little dabbles. These are going to be full-fledged, you know, raging companies. And the planting side of it, where, you know, we're used to seeing when a company comes to fruition, we watch it like already be in mm-hmm. full momentum. You don't really see like what it took to get them to that point where yeah. somebody decided to drill money into them. And I think a lot of the business leaders, like they want to know, you know, that there's other people that are ready to make the investment into labor, ready to invest in the new company. Cause everybody's like, they're waiting. They're like, all holding their breath to see what happens. Mm. Cause this stupid COVID took all of our momentum and people are just afraid to like do new stuff. They're better yeah. off, you know, if they were making money before they come back from it, they go back to making money, but they're not looking to like expand and do things, and they're just wasting years of their life. So
speaking of expanding, I'll yes. take this into the church world, which is kind of interesting. So I listened to this YouTube podcast last week, and they were talking about the next big boom of church growth. So during COVID, a lot of churches shut down. I know they had a number in New Jersey. I had some friends that really struggled through that. And you have these churches that were barely holding on, and then COVID comes in and wipes it out.
Right.
Especially, you know, some churches tend to be on the older side of the demographic. So there are people even haven't returned yet. And right. so, you know, different areas, you know, have different things, but, and I've heard that even here, I've sat with pastors that are still at 30% or 40% of pre-COVID numbers. And what they were saying on this podcast was, what's going to happen is these churches are going to close their buildings because they don't have people to go to them, or they can't sustain the bills. And they're going to be these mass of church buildings and ministry centers and nonprofit things that are available because people aren't necessarily, you know, giving large sums of money right now. There's just a kind of like everybody's kind of hit the pause on some of this right. stuff, just the same way the businesses are feeling it. And, but they're saying that the churches that live through this moment or thrive through this moment are going to be able to go for pennies on the dollar and pick up a church and start a church somewhere else, because there's going to be all these vacant church buildings and congregations that have closed down, and you're going to be able to move into these communities and bring hope in a different way. And it had my wheels turning, because I've often talked about church planting and what does that look like? What would it look like for us to have a campus in another city, region, wherever? My mother-in-law keeps pushing for Fort Myers.
I wonder why Fort Myers. Like, what's the
my wife is like, let's go. But you know, for us to look at, you know, not just in a business sense demographics, but, you know, obviously there's a spiritual component, like, Lord, where are you leading us? And looking at just like a business would too, like, all right, well, we have a bulk of our people driving from this area, so it makes sense to put something in there. And there's all sorts of stats that go along with that. But at the end of the day, the opportunity is going to be ripe. And a lot of people are not understanding in business or in church, everybody's pulling in, everybody's right. holding close. I don't want to lose anything else because I've already lost this, this, and this. And so everybody's playing it tight to the vest. And again, it comes back to what we've talked about often is like there has to be an open hand kind of mentality to business, to life. You know, God brings people in and he pulls people out. He puts money in, he takes money out. You know, and if I live with a closed hand, he may not be able to take what I have, but he certainly can't give me anything either. And so, you know, I want to position my mentality. I mean, I don't want to live with that kind of scarcity mentality of like, all right, well, everybody else is closing and all this other stuff, and they only have 30% back and 40% back. And, you know, we're just lucky too. And I don't want that sort of mentality. And you hear that in the business side of things. And I've been hearing it a lot in the church side of things, like, oh, we were just lucky to make it through COVID. And I'm like, I'm just not going to go there. It's just not part of the mentality.
And really the principle of consolidation is really important. So let's talk about that, that real quick. Yeah. And it's in nature and in finance and whatever, it's a messy proposition. And so, you know, when I started investing in the stock market, like forever ago, and it was the 90s, and it was like the stock market just went up every day. You just put the dollar in and more came out, and it was just easy. Right. Well, that can't happen forever. You get consolidation where you get these corrections. Like, what would happen if it did go up every day? Then it wouldn't be a stock market. It would just, you know, whatever it is. And so, like, even in the natural world, in autophagy, where, you know, every once in a while you have this turnover in your body where anomalous cells get
autophagy. Yeah, that's like a million-dollar word. What does that
mean? So
yeah.
Basically, is you put your body in a certain state, and anomalous cells and cells that aren't right get basically broken down, like the weak ones and the sick cells in your body get broken down and recycled. They get killed off. So your body kills its own cells, the weakened ones, so that then in the future, like, you're weakened when that's happening, right. But then now you have more energies to build proper cells. Hmm. But that it's that turnover. Like, one of my friends had a pond, and what would happen was the pond was, it was aerated and had all of the plant life, and it had lots of fish. And right. And so much grew that all of the plant life floated to the surface, and it started blocking sunlight. Right. So then there was so heavy with life that the life actually killed it, and it turned over and killed it. So that consolidation, like, yes, you have kill and you have death and you have some loss that happens, but because of that, then it basically plants the next era for what's going to happen.
Mm. And so that you're saying that's what's happening in business. Obviously, it's what's happening in church. You know, those that, you know, have struggled or close to this are either going to plant again and go for it again.
It's actually better. Like you said, there's going to be a ton of avail. It sucks for the people who didn't make it, but the ones who didn't make it were the weaker anyhow. Right. So the people who made it were probably stronger. So the stronger then take over those resources, and you recycle and plant again.
Interesting. It takes me to the parable of the talents. To him who has, more will be given. But to him who doesn't, even what he has will be taken from him. And the, you know, you have the 1, 5, and 10, and they double their amounts and stuff like that. And the one hides his because he doesn't want to lose it. And Jesus is like, take even what he has and give it to the guy. And it's like, wow, you know, you look at that and it seems kind of cutthroat, but it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like consolidation.
If in your spreadsheets, it has this thing that you can take all of your data and you can make a chart. And no matter what I'm charting, it goes like this, right? It goes ahead and then a pullback and ahead and then a pullback and ahead and a pull. And every once in a while, it falls out, goes back to a baseline, and then you start building again. So you have these series of, like, you have your day-to-day up and downs. And then you have your big consolidations, but the consolidations usually don't return you lower than where you started. Right. And their consolidations have a sort of like a line that goes up. So your day-to-day goes up and your consolidations go up. You can kind of see that you're living like two lives.
Interesting. Because, you know, you see charts like that all the time for church, whether it's attendance or offering or whatever. And you have your peak seasons, and then you have your summer season, and then you have your peak season, and then you have your winter season, and you go through that and you see that. But, you know, you typically, I don't know what it is for business, but they typically say a healthy church grows between 5 and 7% every year, and that replaces the people that die or move or whatever. Do you have a typical target that you shoot for in business?
50%. We like 50% year over year growth. So
50% year over year. Wow.
And it, and honestly,
and that's just the financial, just finance is what we're talking about. In that
oh, way. Yeah.
Because business is bottom line.
Yeah. And so we basically, we have a this ratio of that we bring in so many new and we get rid of so many old. So let's just say you had 5 employees, right? And you always want to be hiring a new employee and you always want to be cutting the worst offending employee, right? And you want it to have growth. So maybe you bring in every month, you bring in 2 new employees and you fire whoever's at the bottom of the rung. If you do that long enough, you watch a trajectory of you're always getting rid of someone, and you're always adding someone, but you're always adding 2. So if I needed to grow 50%, I need to bring in 2 new customers, 2 solid good customers, and I need to take a customer that costs me too much money and doesn't have enough revenue, and I need to tell them to, you know, go. And that's me choosing my consolidations, you know what I mean? Rather than letting
it happen to you.
Exactly.
Interesting. I like that a lot.
But I don't think you'll ever go up to someone in your congregation and say, listen, you're taking a lot of my time. You need to find another church, right? You're kicked out.
No, I've never in 18, 19 years of ministry kicked anybody out. I've had plenty of people leave and plenty of people not happy. But yeah, in that regard, I've never asked somebody to not. Most of the time, people remove themselves anyway. It never gets to that place. They'll just, well, we're going to find another church, and they'll give you whatever reason they want to give you. You know, they never actually let you work through that space. And that's probably true with customers too. Yeah. It's very rare that you have
I will tell you though, that if I didn't dismiss the worst offending ones, I would not have room for the better ones that I just brought in. I wouldn't be able to have 50% growth year over year if I did not get rid of the bottom performers.
Interesting. Interesting. And business obviously has a different cut to it than, obviously, church, when you're dealing with people's lives, you can't be like, I'm sorry, you're some of the bottom performers here at church. We're going to ask you to find another church. Can you take your problems down the road? Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't do that.
So you're probably not going to get 50% growth year over year.
No, I guess that's why it's 5 to 7. It's a target. You know, it's interesting. But I mean, if you look at, you know, just sitting here spitballing it, you know, Jesus actually does this a couple times. So in John 6, he teaches something really, really hard in regards to communion. And, you know, he says to his disciples, like, you know, the text says that, you know, this teaching was really hard and most people left him. And then he turns to the 12, who are like his homies, and he's like, if you guys need to go, you can go too.
There it is, consolidation.
And Peter responds like, where else are we going to go? Like we're not going anywhere. But you know, everybody was walking away, and our tendency, even business and church, is to run after him. It's like, oh, you know, don't go. I didn't mean that, you know, and to walk back some of those things. And Jesus doubles down, looks at his closest followers, and goes, you guys can go too if you want.
Yeah. Well, and we don't have a great relationship with loss. We do not like to be broken up with. And you know, if you look at the consolidation, where I use the earthquake thing to usually illustrate it, you have 2 choices. You can have a really big earthquake and have devastation, or you can have daily earthquakes and they could be at the intensity of your choosing, right? Which am I going to choose? If you're in denial that like, oh no, we could just make
never have earthquakes.
We're not going to have those. Yeah. Then you don't choose the irritations that are happening daily to stave off the earthquake that's happening that ruins everything.
Interesting. And it's much like your move the ball 1 yard at a time.
Exactly.
You're saying, hey, I'm going to choose a 1.0 earthquake every day instead of a 10.0 earthquake once a month.
Yep. I can manage that. I can survive that.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to consolidating your network, do you ever go through your phone and delete contacts? Do you ever?
I just did that today. It felt damn good too.
So yeah. How do you decide who stays and who goes?
I used to like overthink it, but it's like I have the law of use that if I have not used something in a year, right, it needs either to be given to someone or it needs to be thrown away.
Hallelujah.
Well, I've been going through my contacts. I haven't called you in forever. Delete or move you to a list that's not active in my thing.
So. Next out.
Yeah, right. If I'm supposed to meet you, I'll meet you again.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do that in other ways too? Do you purge your Facebook friends at all?
You know what? That takes too much time. It's too hard. If it was easier, I probably would, but it's been kind of hands off for a little bit.
Yeah. My wife tells me, she's like, you need to purge your Facebook friends from time now. And I'm like, no, the more the merrier. Like, we're having a party here on Facebook. This is like my zone. Okay. And you know, she won't add anybody on Facebook until she's met them in person. Even though I'm like, oh, I met so-and-so, you should connect with them, send them a friend request. She's like, not until I meet him in person. And everybody's got a different,
their thing. They got to manage it themselves.
Exactly. Right? And, but it is interesting when you talk about managing, you know, your network and consolidating some of that stuff. I've always felt like the larger the network you have, the more resources you have. A person with relationships is the richest person in the room because you can get stuff done with relationships. You can, you know, come together. And, you know, a lot of our, we have a joke in our board meeting we have for the last 8 years. Anytime a problem would come up, you're like, hey, you know, we got a plumbing issue, whatever. And somebody's like, I got a guy. Let me call, you know, so-and-so. He does da da da, or he's a retired electrician, or he does this. And so there's always, when you have that network, it's always easy to tap into that. And I think that's something you actually do really well. You wouldn't probably give yourself that credit, but you're always, you know, collaborating. You're always going to another studio to let the band record. You're always thinking that way. And most people don't, because it's Rite Aid versus CVS. It's McDonald's versus Burger King. And you're like, we all win. So let's
infinite
do it
world. There's nothing that exactly. I'm gonna get shafted from by giving it to some other guy.
So how do you get to that space in your head? Because most people are, well, if we don't host this, or we don't do this, or it's not our event, it's not our product, it's not ours, but we're not gonna participate. And I just, my brain doesn't function that way. Like we just hosted the Legacy Conference. It was really cool. We had a whole bunch of churches and people represented, but like the worship team was a whole cluster of churches, worship leaders and stuff. I wasn't responsible for that. I wasn't responsible. Like I could have been like, well, you know, I want to do this event. It's got to happen this way. And you start doing that and your world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But when you just start saying yes, and your world gets bigger and bigger and bigger, I would so much rather collaborate and get 10 people in the room instead of going, well, we have to do it this way and we're going to use our three people. They have a really good person that would be better than any of us at this, but we're not going to do that because they don't wear our uniform. That's just not who I am.
So I use more Socrates logic than anything else. And I probably cited that a couple mm-hmm. times here.
Yeah.
And this is crazy because sometimes I use actual quotes and sometimes I use quotes from movies and I don't really care if the logic's good.
This
one was an actual person. And so if I decide that I want to do great things, and then somebody once said that in order to do great things, you could do really great things as long as you don't care who gets credit for it. I don't know who said it. It was probably a general of some kind.
Probably.
I'm like, well, I want to do great things. And in order to do great things, you can't be worried about who gets credit for it. Mm-hmm. So boom, there's the logic right there.
No, yeah. That's hard for people though. It really is. There are not many business leaders. There's not many church people. There's not many people in life. Most people want to be recognized and receive the credit. But I've just found again and again and again, if you serve a cause bigger than yourself and you'll get around, like more doors open when you're available, you say yes, you jump in. Hey, you know, I didn't have to, you know, any of that stuff, but we just want to do it. So we're going to jump in and we're going to be involved. And I love that mentality. I think it's one of the reasons you and I get along so well is that's just, hey, yeah, we can do that. Let me connect with this person and let's figure it out. So,
you know what, I want to update a question you asked a couple minutes ago because I think I answered it incorrectly. So, and see if you can. I don't remember what the question was, but you have to take me back there. So I have my sticky notes. I have all mm-hmm. the projects that I'm working on, and then I go and write sticky notes of anybody that I think could be related or involved in it. And then when I look at this list, if there's anybody on that list that I haven't talked to in a while, it inspires me to check in with them and call them or text 100%. Them to, like, you know, if I hadn't talked to you for 3 months, would you be even still interested in working on this project with me? And that makes a call. I think your question was, do I ever have a system that makes me go renew relationships for that reason? I think that's
no, that's 100% good. I have a note that I keep, and then I'll even put stuff. So like, you know, I've been working with some of the youth students. And so like, I have like two or three of them that feel like, you know, they have a nudge towards ministry, and some of them that, you know, have some giftings. And so like, I've just put their name down, and then like, I set an alarm for like a year from now, like check in, see how they're doing. Not that I won't like between here and there, but
just in case,
just one of those things that like, hey, I want to go back and make sure that I'm not overlooking this. And even, you know, there are, you know, people that have, you know, come to church and they're in, and then they get out a little bit and it's like, oh, well, you know, I haven't heard from them in a while. Now we have a back end system where people try and make calls and we try and stay in touch that way. so that people know that they're cared for. But I'm not always involved in that process. So sometimes I'm like, oh, I haven't seen them in like in a month. Like, where have they been? Right. And to shoot a text out or whatever to just connect is always a good way to do it. But and that's totally totally makes sense. So you take your opportunities, and instead of, you know, for your networking, instead of going, all right, how am I going to do this? Your question is always, how are we going to do this? And who's the we that gets involved?
Exactly.
I love that.
100%.
I love that. I think I'm going to have to start doing that. I really like that. That visual idea of, all right, we're going to do whatever. We're going to do a toy giveaway or whatever. All right, who gets to be involved with that? Oh, you know, they would be great. They're good at organizing and start. It's the way my brain works, but to have a visualization like that, and you're talking like, all right, I want to start a coffee shop. Who's going to be involved with that?
Yeah. And you put, stick and you know what it does too, is like if I had a conversation with you, it would be me calling you. But if my board is telling me that you need to be involved, I'm calling on behalf of the board, and it takes me out of it and lets me do it with a little bit more confidence.
No, that's good. That's good. So you put the names up there, and sometimes that, you know, I find it interesting. Sometimes the project, all the time, the project comes, the person gets delivered. So I use this example because it involves you. So I was at Bridge of Hope for 4.5 years. Pastor Mike had just started with us. I wanted to simulcast and broadcast the services. So I bought a little tripod. I put some tape on the ground and put my phone in the tripod and hit Facebook Live, and then service went. And afterwards I hit Facebook Live off. It was super there ghetto. Looked like a Bin Laden cave video, but I did it 2 weeks in a row, and I was like, man, I really want to be able to do this. This was fall of 2017, I think November of 2017. So I did 2 weeks in a row, and I'm like, we need some more equipment. I don't even know what equipment we need, anything like that. And I had a note, my thing, you know, we need to be able to simulcast the service, broadcast it, whatever. So I reached out to a few people, and they're like, oh, you could do this, you could do that. And then January of 2018, you guys walked through the door. April, we had lunch at BJ's. And at that lunch, you were like, how come the church doesn't simulcast anything? And I didn't necessarily have Joe Danier's name there, but my brain was in a spot going, I can't do this, but God, you got to send me somebody that can. Maybe if I would have pressed a little bit, I probably could have found one or two people that maybe would have squished it all together. But it's so much better when you have the idea, you fixated on it, you prayed about it, and then you sit there at lunch at BJ's and go, how come you guys don't have any live broadcasts? And I was like, well, I tried to do it on my phone, and I went through the whole story I just shared. And you were like, do you mind if I give it a shot? And I was like, sure. And in my mind, I thought, all right, we're going to have meetings. I need a budget. You know, I'm going through like, what are my 5 steps? And then you show up the next Sunday with cameras and all sorts of stuff. And you're like, I set up a dummy Facebook page. We're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, he's serious. Like, we're doing this. I was like, I like this, you know? And within, I think about 5 weeks, we were up and running and had worked out. We still had kinks to work out, but we had worked out enough that we felt like putting it up online. But that was one of those things that like, hey, that was a goal for me.
Right.
You know, right now I have a second location goal. I should put it on a stickum and I should start attaching names to it, just like you've done. I have notes and stuff, but that visualization I think would be helpful for me.
Let's talk about some intermediaries, because you used a powerful one by the prayer thing, but let's talk about the non-God intermediaries. If you walked up to my board, right? Okay. So your first example was, if I need a plumber, then I know a guy, right? That's a direct.
Correct.
Right. Intermediary might be a someone,
I know someone
that's
that knows
not
somebody.
A plumber,
yep.
But you trust enough to be able to carry a message, to be able to deliver it to someone as if you were doing it yourself, yeah. Right? And so your first ring of people, like you might have a go-to, right? That a group of go-tos that is not, doesn't have a specialization, right? They just have they're similar to your thought process. You trust them. They speak the common language with you, and they have ideals that are similar to yours. And then, so a lot of times that's you to push it through that first filter. And then your world is just not you. It's multiplied by as many people as in that first circle.
Yeah. That's absolutely brilliant. I think too often business leaders, leaders in general in church, they keep their tight because they don't want to share their idea. They don't want to share their vision. They don't want to share their, some are perfectionists, like, oh, it has to be done this way, so I'm just going to do it myself. And you limit the scope of what you can do, where if you start multiplying and sharing exactly what you're saying, you may not have a plumber on that team, but you shared it with Joe, and Joe's like, well, I got two plumbers. Let me make a call, you know, hey, pastor needs da da da. Oh, and this guy shows up that now I get to meet. Now I have a direct. Yeah, I love that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's funny. I think the when I look at, you know, various projects, and I you know, I mentioned the coffee shop because I know that's going to take off here at the Makerspace here very shortly. You know, you're hunting for baristas, you're hunting for that sort of stuff, and you may not know anybody. You're throwing it out on Facebook, but see, when I see those things, I'm always like, who do I know? Yeah, and we've multiple right. times I've said, hey, you know, da 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 da. I think even have a guy here now that, you know, been doing some stuff for you on Thursdays and at different times that I was like, hey, guy from church looking to maybe make a career change, et cetera, et cetera. I love, for me, I get so much joy out of, you know, taking this person's looking for this and this person, they just need to meet each other. And I'm the guy in the middle going, hey, let me introduce you.
Yeah.
Cause this would be a home run.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And I, the first principle, like when I first got in business and I needed to hire my first person, my mentor told me that put out a finding fee, you know, pay someone $500 to send you a really good employee. And then if somebody sends you a really good employee, then they probably knew something that you didn't, maybe they had a skill set that you didn't for finding qualified people. So give them another $500, another $500 to keep sending you, sending you people. So like I can go on Facebook right now and say, I need a plumber, but people would pick it maybe on price and they would pick it on whatever. And none of those things might not be important to me. So they wouldn't have gone through a filter other than they were a plumber.
Yeah.
But if you can put it through another, like a plumber that is honest or a plumber that is, you know, a Christian or
to it. Yeah.
Exactly. Then when you go through you, I know that I'm getting attached to a different level of just plumber than what the general public can send me. Mm,
that's good. For anybody that struggles with networking and struggles with the connections, they seem like they always have a need, but never have. There's just a disconnect. The other side of the line that they're calling, but ain't nobody answering.
Right.
What are some things they can do practically to open up their network a little bit, other than maybe paying somebody $500 to send them a plumber?
I used to get really pissed off because I would go to a place to think I was going to meet somebody. And I'd be so mad that I was there. I made myself available and it just didn't come to me. Right. My intentions were all off because I didn't know why I was doing it. I knew I was supposed to do it, but I didn't know what I had in it. So a lot of my preconceived notions were sort of like on the temptations column. Like what was I pursuing? Was I pursuing someone who was wealthy so that it'd give me a bunch of money? Or was I pursuing somebody who was connected and whatever? I wasn't really looking for what I was looking for because I didn't know what I was looking for. So I think if someone's struggling, they're probably, they don't know what's that?
Expectations.
Yeah. They don't know why they're doing it. And I think they need to plan a little bit. Like if you can go in the future and picture the perfect person that you would meet, and then go to these places and go look for them. Don't like settle and then just go find somebody because they were a body and try to do it with them. Picture it and go look for it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even sometimes we have an expectation that's just unrealistic. Like that person doesn't exist. And I love some of the stuff that, you know, as we've worked with a number of addicts over the last year to watch some, like we've worked with hundreds of them and some of them, unfortunately, have fallen off the wagon. Some of them have gone back into lifestyle. Some of them have moved back home. They, you know, they were here for rehabilitation and they moved back home. And, but others of them have turned their life around and stuck around. And I didn't know that when we made the investment. I wasn't making the investment because, oh, one day they're going to be healthy and able to do this. But when you make that type of investment and you help somebody turn some things around, now when they're healthy, now when they're stepping into some stuff, man, you get to be there to cheer them on. You get to be there to celebrate. And the cool thing is you poured seeds in the ground. You didn't know you were going to get a return. And now they're turning around going, how do we help? How do we get involved? How do we do more? And it turns around. And so sometimes in a business sense, like you're going to have to give, and you may never see anything in return from that person, but it might be the third person you gave to.
That's the intermediary.
Person.
Sometimes you are calling on the intermediary and sometimes you are the intermediary.
100%. And, but it's that mentality. Gary V has the book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. It's give, and then you'll get. And his whole point is you don't worry about the getting, just keep giving, and it will return itself to you. And too many people are out there just selling. Right. And nobody wants to hear that. Just tell me, add value, give, and those returns come in the end. This is a fun topic. I think it's going to help some people. Anything else you want to add about?
No, that was good, man. You got me spent. These have been deep lately. These have been like, you know, stuff we should be on stage doing.
Yeah, we will.
You know,
thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here next week.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos